Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin of the Jimmy Akin Podcast, and you're being fortified with your regular dose of Catholic vitamins. But wait, there's more.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace the change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Happy New Year, Dee.
Happy New Year, Tom.
Thank you. And
it seems like quite a while since we've been here.
I know. It has been a while. Epiphany blessings to come as well.
Yes.
That'll come up very soon. We're starting our show after Christmas and New Year's and after a break. We sort of have missed you all, you, our listeners. But wasn't it kind of neat to have Jimmy Akin, the famous Jimmy Akin, do an opening for Catholic Vitamins?
Very fun.
Yeah. Well, in case you folks don't know, and, there's lots of wonderful podcasts, and one of them is Jimmy Akin's podcast, but there's also the Catholic Answers podcast, which I subscribe to. I listen to it just faithfully, and Jimmy Akin is a regular guest and contributor at Catholic Answers. He's the chief apologist for that wonderful site. And he's also on their speakers bureau, and we're so glad to hear that he has become a member of SQPN.
He's a new affiliate. Yeah. I think they were just making the announcement this weekend.
They were. And so we're glad to welcome Jimmy, and Jimmy has promised that he would visit Catholic Vitamins on an upcoming show. So
how exciting.
We're working on that as well. Well, to all of our listeners, if you haven't been with us for quite a while and didn't hear us say it before, belated Christmas blessings and blessings of the new year. We have had an enjoyable couple weeks, although missing you all. What happened?
We had a very quiet Christmas day.
Yeah, I guess.
We didn't go anywhere and we didn't have any family coming around that day. You did the masses, the vigil mass, and then the two masses on Christmas morning.
Right. I think I may have gone to the nursing home as well.
You did that too, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then when you were all finished, we went out to eat. Since we had nobody coming, we didn't feel like cooking, so we went out to a restaurant. There were one or two or three restaurants here in town that were open on Christmas Day, so we went to one of them.
And we had a...
I had shrimp. Of all things.
And I had turkey. I hadn't had turkey at Thanksgiving, so I enjoyed doing that. So we had a nice day, and we came back. What did we do about presents, Dee? When did we open presents?
Not until, later that day?
Yeah. Not like children who can't wait to get out their things.
They're up in the morning ready to rip everything apart, but no. We're old and mature. And
what did Santa bring you?
Oh, he brought me an iPod Touch.
Your own iPod Touch?
Which I had been wanting.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved my little old iPod Nano, but it didn't have enough memory. Yeah. I wanted to store so much stuff, and it would keep running out of
you
memory.
You now have an iPod that's smarter than the iPod that I use.
Oh, this is a neat touch. I can even get my email on it. How neat is that?
Yeah, and you can take pictures?
Yes.
I think you took a picture.
I did. I took a test picture.
You know what Santa brought me? You know what Santa brought me.
Of course I do.
My elbow is on it right now as you and I are talking. It's my mouse pad with the Catholic Vitamins logo.
A lot of listeners out there will have known about that because they would have seen. I put a picture on Facebook and on Friends of Catholic Vitamins, I think.
If you haven't, for any reason, been to the Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, take a look at the neat gift. A real surprise, I must say. A neat surprise that Dee provided to Deacon Tom for a Christmas gift. And we want to thank Mary Donaldson
again for creating that logo for us.
Yeah. And if we ever get into the swag business, coffee cups and t-shirts and whatever,
we'll have to give her a commission.
Well, we'll pray for her. How's that? Because usually those things we wind up eating more of that stuff than you do making any money.
We haven't made that leap yet.
Yeah. Well, we had a nice Christmas, as we've already said, and...
Oh, Christmas Eve. I forgot to mention Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
We were invited over to some friend's house to share Christmas Eve appetizers and some social time with them, and that was fun. That was nice.
That was nice. That was Bob and Dar, who were our guests on Catholic Vitamin F the first time around.
Very first Vitamin F.
For family. And we have another episode coming up that may be in the same flavor sometime. What else have we got?
Okay. Well, the day after, our daughter and family from down in the valley, about, an hour and a half away, they came up for the day. And we fixed a nice big dinner and had Christmas with them, let them open gifts from us. And that was fun. It's always nice to have family around.
It is. I do want to tell our listeners, in keeping with our Catholic orientation on Catholic vitamins, that Barbara and her family came up and we had blessed straw. Now, what that means is that the pastor at each of the masses had little plastic bags of straw that the ladies in the parish had put together, 20 or 25 little pieces of straw in each plastic baggie. And he blessed it before each Mass. And then we gave them out, the priest and I gave them out at the end of Mass to people who were leaving after Christmas Masses. And we brought some home. And what we did with that before we did our grace, before meals, we walked over to our manger set and we opened up the little bag.
We had the granddaughters put some straw in around the baby Jesus.
Yeah, and they thought that was really neat. Our family, our daughter and her husband and family thought that was really a neat thing to do. So an interesting little idea that isn't exactly brand new, but if you're not used to it, maybe you might consider it in your own home. Even if your pastor doesn't do it for the parish, maybe you could ask him to bless a little bit of straw. And then you could do that as a Advent symbol or as a Christmas Day symbol of bringing blessed straw into your home and manger. Now, one other thing before I leave this subject, I don't want to prattle too long, but one of the ideas that came out of this blessed straw was if people happened not to have a manger, I wish they all did, but if they happened not to have a manger, you could put this underneath your
tablecloth.
Yeah, the tablecloth, or if you have placemats, you could put it underneath the placemats. And it's a way of bringing the babe of Bethlehem to your table. The word Bethlehem means bread, and certainly in keeping with the idea of the Eucharist and a family meal. So it's a beautiful symbology, and I hope we remember this next year, Dee.
Yes. I think it was well received this year. I think Father will want to do it again. I told him, let's start earlier, though, because fixing all these little baggies is kind of time-consuming.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's our first segment. Sorry to run on a little bit long, but we're enjoying being back with you, and we will be back.
In every communion,
Well, I thought it was about time we let everybody know they're listening to Catholic Vitamin B for blooming.
There you go.
And this is episode 117, and our guest is Teresa Smith, who is a Catholic wife, a mom, a homeschooling mom, and she's a composer with her husband David, and she sings Catholic songs, and that was one of her songs we were listening to.
It's called One by One, and you know, God listens to us. There's a lot of voices going on at the same time. Dear God, I need. Dear God, please. Dear God, fix. But he hears all of us one by one. What a nice theme for Teresa's singing. And we will continue with her and our other regulars and a new regular on the show in just a moment. Well, a few seconds ago, you heard me mention the word new contributor, and I am so pleased to bring back a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins. Her name is Mariana Bartholomew. You may remember that she was on our show, Catholic Vitamin W, for Witness, and as a former editor and writer for a missionary-oriented publication, for a long time, she has seen a lot of people who give witness to the faith in her journeys, and she's written about this. And during the course of our exchanges and emails, I asked Mariana, what did she think about the idea of doing something like some missionary moments for Catholic Vitamins? And to talk a little bit about Catholic Vitamin W in a shortened format, in a sort of a teaching format for us to learn more about the missions and perhaps to learn how to be missionaries in our own lives based on the examples and witness that she has seen elsewhere. Mariana has traveled extensively. She's written extensively. She's currently a freelance writer and editor at Finer Fields Publishing. She does a blog, and we'll put contact information for her. It's a real joy to introduce to you Mariana Bartholomew and her Missionary Moments contribution for Catholic Vitamins.
Greetings, Dee and Deacon Tom, and all the listeners of Catholic Vitamins, here to get a little nutrition for your soul. This is Mariana Bartholomew, former managing editor of Extension Magazine. Extension is the magazine of the Catholic Church Extension Society, which has been raising funds for America's home missions for more than 100 years. Now, what are America's home missions? What makes a territory mission? Well, several things. For one, a mission church can be so far flung in such a remote area that its resources are just very lacking. Say a church might be stationed in the middle of Alaska, could be very difficult to reach by any transportation. Perhaps its congregation is made up of just a small handful of parishioners. And in that situation, the people find it very difficult to raise enough funding to keep their church open, to raise funds to perhaps even heat the church, to pay for a little stipend for a missionary priest to be stationed there. Very difficult for parishioners if they are very few and cut off from a more urban area. Sometimes a mission is missionary, a church is missionary, because it just has such a small number of parishioners that the parishioners have just a difficult time keeping their church running. Sometimes a church has a huge number of parishioners, but again, perhaps the parishioners just are in an area that is so desolate, so remote, say, in the middle of Wyoming, or perhaps tucked away in some little hollow in Appalachia, that even though there are many, many parishioners in the little church, they just have a difficult time raising funds. Perhaps there's no real employment in the area. Perhaps it's a mining area where employment has just dwindled over the years. So numbers may be many, but the finances are just very few. Sometimes a group of immigrants might move to a certain area, and suddenly there is a population that is needing special care. There might be a group of Hmong, H-M-O-N-G, people from Asia, or this Hispanic populations, or different ethnic groups that might need special care, and that can make an area mission. Perhaps a church has never been started in a particular area, and some Catholic families have moved to that area and are working to start up a church, but they just don't have that funding available. There are many different things that can make an area a mission area in this country. And 100 years ago, Father Francis Clement Kelly was riding horseback through the countryside and just coming upon these little churches that were struggling. And that's what, and in fact, he was also struggling in his little mission parish in Lapeer, Michigan. And so that's what prompted him to start the Catholic Church Extension Society. There are other missionary societies that are doing great work for America's home missions. Catholic Appalachian Project is the one that comes to mind. And I just think that in this country, we are so blessed to have so many resources. We need to think of ways that we not only support our overseas missions, but realize that right here, there are really some struggling but very worthy missions that deserve our support. So perhaps you might be on vacation and driving through a particular area, and it's Sunday, and you locate a little mission church to stop in and attend Sunday Mass. Introduce yourself to the pastor. Introduce yourself to the parishioners, and even that gesture alone is supporting a mission territory. Sometimes people in these remote areas can feel very cut off and very alone, and making a little connection, you might even find out a particular need that would be easy for you to step forward and help the mission with. I know in one particular case, there was a mission that was African-American and cast out in a very distant locale, and they really needed good spiritual reading material for their children. And so a situation was set up where a visiting family had come through, saw that need, and started sending good spiritual reading material for the children. And that ended up being very much of a blessing for that particular parish. So we need to think of our overseas missions, but we also need to remember that in America, we too have mission territories. And that's a way that we can witness to our faith, to remember our faithful brothers and sisters that are in areas that they just need our support and our loving care, even if it's remembering them in prayers daily. So thank you so much for listening to this missionary moment, allowing me to reflect on some of the needs in America's missions.
Well, I really want to thank Mariana Bartholomew for agreeing to come on Catholic Vitamins and to do a missionary moments segment from time to time. She's a very busy lady in a lot of ways, and it's a real contribution on her part to do this. So we don't know how long or how often Mariana will be able to do this. We thank you so much, and please feel that you're an invited guest anytime you can, Mariana. In our parish, I'm not even sure that I talked this over with Mariana, In our parish, we have an Indian mission that we support, and twice a year, we do a clothing, food drive, and fundraising effort for this Indian mission. It's about, I'm going to say, 2 hours from our parish. It is up on a reservation in northern Arizona. We visited there one time with two other couples, and it was really wonderful. It's a very poor area, and there is a beautiful little church that they have. There is not a resident priest there. They have a brother and a couple sisters, and they do a lot of work on this reservation. They do a lot of charitable work, and they have a priest who comes in to help with masses. So that would be a perfect example of the sort of message that Mariana introduced us to today. And I was thinking during Mariana's reflection how nice it would be if Catholic Vitamins listeners could find some united way to help support a mission someplace. I don't have an answer for this yet, and we don't have any vehicle for collecting money. We've never been about raising money on Catholic Vitamins. But I'm going to put that on your heart, dear listeners, and if there's a way that some idea that comes to your mind about supporting mission churches, maybe we could pick one and we could support it. So, in the future, we're hoping Mariana will share some experiences and stories and missionary moments. Before we leave this area, I want to share part of an email that Mariana sent to me in reply to my outreach about the music that she had picked. She said the L'Angelus group, that's how you pronounce it, spelled like Angelus with an L in front of it, L'Angelus group, caught my attention because they, as a Catholic family, have explored deeply their Cajun roots through their music. And their music reflects such beautiful faith and family values and just has the sound of the American missions to it. I've often ran into great American folk music on my travels through various regions. I love music for the folk so much. As a nation, we really need to re-examine our roots, and we have much to learn from rural America. You are so right, Mariana. She says a total of 86 dioceses in America are designated as mission dioceses by Extension Society, including the Lafayette Diocese, where this L'Angelus group comes from. And these areas need financial aid for church building and repair, subsidies for missionaries, and to help aid seminary and education and catechetical programs. So, Mariana, there we are, and we once again thank you so very much. This is Catholic Vitamins, Catholic Vitamin B for blooming, and D has something to say about blooming.
I have a blooming thing to say.
What is that, dear?
Well, we've moved around so much that it became my motto to say we bloom where we're planted.
I gave you an opportunity to bloom in many places, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And you did a pretty fair job of it, too.
Well, right. But I never could really take real roots because you'd pick us up and move us again.
Well, the career business is all over now, and we have a lovely home where we're at, and maybe we'll bloom here. You told me once that the anchor is down.
I think I've said that a couple times, and I've sort of messed it up, haven't I?
Well, whatever. All right, dear folks, we are ready for our main feature, which is time with wonderful singer
Teresa Smith.
Our guest on Catholic Vitamins is a lady that I've been just so anxious to spend time with for a number of reasons. In a way, I've sort of been a silent, secret fan of hers, and I've been on a podcast for a number of years with her, except we never got to talk in person. Who I'm talking about is the wonderful singer Teresa Smith. She's a Catholic singer and a mom, and we'll get into all of that in just a second. But where I used to work with her is on the Lisa Hendy Catholic Moments podcast, where Teresa was the featured theme song singer for that. And gosh, that's been going on for a number of years. At any rate, we'll get into all of that. Teresa Smith, welcome to our program, Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be on this show.
Well, we've been looking forward to it, as I told you, offline, and as I just suggested in my opening words. Our theme for today is blooming where God has you planted, blooming where God wants you to be planted, in case that isn't where you are. And we'll see if you can help us look at that in your own life. Tell us about Teresa as a young person, your family of origin and siblings and things like that.
Well, you know, I didn't grow up Catholic. I was actually a Protestant in the Church of the Brethren.
Uh-huh.
And I did grow up in a very strong Christian family. And I did, as you say, I accepted Jesus, you know, in my heart in eighth grade. And so I did want to serve him as a young person. And there's something I wanted to bring up that's really neat. My family lived behind the local Catholic church, right in the backyard of that church.
Wow.
And as a child, I played under this big, beautiful statue of the Blessed Mother. And I would look up at her, and I would wonder who this woman was. And our house was directly behind where the Blessed Sacrament would have been sitting, you know, Jesus there, not even knowing it as a child. And so I think back on that, how Our Lady was probably calling me as a young child to the faith, not even knowing it. And I've just always, you know, grown up loving the Lord.
What a beautiful story to think that you were growing up in the shadow of the Blessed Sacrament and the Eucharist. Wow. Well, tell us about your faith walk as you were growing up.
Well, after I hit puberty and I was a young person in junior high, things started to change a little bit. And, of course, I wasn't real interested in God, but I was interested in singing. And that's when I really started practicing singing, and I just wanted to get better as a singer. And soon into high school, I realized I would like to have my faith and my singing together. And so I started singing evangelical music, Christian music. I don't know if you're familiar with Sandy Patty, but she was one of my role models as a singer growing up in high school. I sang a lot of her solos. And I think that combination of singing about the Lord and trying to improve my voice, it really nurtured something inside of me that I wanted to share the faith through music, through singing. And so that became a goal of mine through high school and then into college. And a lot of my friends didn't, they thought I was too religious, and they would get frustrated with me singing Christian all the time. But it seemed like that's all I really wanted to sing about. And it wasn't until I was about a junior in college, I transferred to Anderson University, and that's where I met my husband, David. And that's where my whole life, you know, into being introduced to the Catholic faith started when I was in college.
David is a guitarist?
Yes, he's a guitarist, well, multi-instrumentalist. He plays several instruments, drums, keyboard, trumpet, some strings. And it was so awesome to have met him, because I met a lot of people who were wannabes in music, I would call them. They tried, but when I met him, I thought, wow, you are so talented, and I was so infatuated with his talent.
Mm. And David was Catholic?
But he was. He was Catholic, and I told him when we met, I was searching for a church, and I was. I was going from one church to the next. I wasn't sure where I wanted to go, where my home was, and I did grow up thinking that the Catholic faith was kind of a no-no. You don't want to be Catholic. You can be anything but Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And so my radar went up when he was Catholic, and he said, well, why don't you come to Mass with me and find out for yourself? So I went to Mass with him one time, and that was it. I never went anywhere else. I just kept going to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
It was so powerful. And the thing that stood out the most for me was seeing everyone go in line for communion. And I thought, this must be very important for all these people to be standing up and going together to stand in line and receive this bread, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was Jesus at the time. And it just hooked. That's what hooked me into the Catholic faith, was that bread. I thought, what is so important about that? Which, you know, it was communion, and I grew up with communion, but it was very different. So
before we started our time together in this phone conversation, we played your song One by One, and in a second or two, we'll take a break for Blooming, your wonderful song Blooming, that's been on Catholic Moments for years as Lisa Hendy's theme song. But, you know, you've sort of described seeds, a yearning in your heart, and then seeds being planted by the invitation to come to Mass, and then your faith blooming. Really, really beautiful. Was your husband very, I don't want to use the word pushy, but suggestive about all this, or was he pretty relaxed?
He was pretty suggestive, actually.
Oh.
I'm glad, because I needed that. I needed someone to give me what I took as the truth. I grew up in a very relative mentality with the faith that I was raised in. You believe this, you believe that, whatever's right for you. And he would say, well, we believe this because this is truth. This is, you're going to have to accept it or not. That is basically how he would present it to me. It may sound unloving, but it gave me a choice. I had to either accept it or not. And, of course, the typical stumbling blocks that a lot of converts have to deal with, you know, Mary's role, and especially confession, that really troubled me that I would have to confess to a priest. And he would explain it to me so well and give me the choice. You're either going to believe it or not. You know, this is the teaching. And I loved that. I needed that. And so I know God placed me with him. And he's been a great teacher for me.
That's so beautiful to hear. And we often talk, Dee and I, my wife and I, about, you know, the beauty of God's plans for man and woman. And when the right person is placed in your life, that he or she is what you need, sometimes to be a compliment, sometimes to be a support, and sometimes to be a challenge.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about what music you've recorded and any albums that you want to talk about.
Well, when David and I first started our music career together, we formed the duo called Crossed Hearts, and that's what we did together for several years. In fact, we were one of the first groups to sign with OCP, or no, not OCP, GIA, and they started a record label, and we traveled and went to different conferences as Crossed Hearts, and we had an album that we produced through GIA, and we did several albums on our own independently, but the one that stuck was called Hymns of Holy Mass, and so we did hymns, familiar hymns, like On Eagle's Wings, One Bread, One Body, in a contemporary fashion, and so we had that CD, and then soon after that, I wanted to do a solo project, and that's where Blooming came in, and I wanted to reach women, and so David helped me write the songs. In fact, he wrote all of them. I just kind of put my input of what I wanted to say. And so we have Blooming, and that was out in 2006, I think. And just recently, I've been working with my own children, teaching them how to sing, and introduced Gregorian chant. And they have put together two CDs. We have Volume 1 and Volume 2. And that's called Gregorian Chant for Kids. But it's not just for kids.
Lots of adults listen to it. Yeah. We'll come back to that, because I want to talk about that in a few moments. Tell us about the words, before we listen to you doing Blooming, tell us about the words and what was on your mind when you put this song together.
Well, I think the main message in that song was there is joy wherever we are, in what God's doing in our life, even in the difficult times. we have to persevere in the faith. And, you know, there's images of, you know, plowing the garden, the sun coming. You know, we kind of use those analogies of the garden with faith growing, blooming, and, you know, we need the sun and the water to have a seed bloom. And it's kind of like that with our faith. We have to nourish our faith. And we kind of wanted to talk about the sacraments, but in a not-so-obvious way. And also service. The song talks about missionaries going out, and there's challenging. There's challenging times for that missionary, but, you know, he perseveres, and he's doing the most he can with where God has him at that moment. And with that song, a lot of times I have women who will email me, and they'll say, I'm so glad you wrote that, because here I am at home, and I feel like I'm not doing that much. I'm just taking care of my children, and I'm not making a difference in the world. And then I'll hear that, and I'll think, well, yeah, I am. You know, I'm nurturing my children, and those are the seeds that are being planted. And
I'm so
that's what I was thinking.
Sure. I'm so very glad that you agreed to come on this show with this theme. Let's pause for the length of this beautiful song, Blooming, with Teresa Smith, a wonderful singer, and we'll be back.
They say it's a miracle she's alive, though the doctors say she'll never walk again. But she says she started living the day her life nearly came to an end. Every day brings another miracle her way. She'll tell you it's God's hand of providence. Though some would call her lucky, just one in a million chance. Most would have given up a long time ago, but the stone failed to unearth the seed deep in her soul. That's blooming, finding joy in eternity and hope in the heaven yet to come. Blooming, her feet on the ground, her hand to the plow, and her face turned toward the sun. Grateful for from his parents, saying don't stay under that African desert sun. But he couldn't leave and live knowing children would die and so much work to be done. The tragedy he's seen make the soil the most hearts harden, but the soul we're living waters rain. You're bound to find a garden that's blooming.
That was the lovely and charming Teresa Smith, and a song that if you've listened to Catholic Moments over the years, you've heard her do that song many, many times. A great song, a great message, blooming. Teresa, even though it's winter, would you say that your walk with the Lord is blooming at this time in your life?
In this time, it is. There are some times when I feel stagnant, but God's doing a lot in our life right now, and especially in mine. And, you know, I had the privilege of having two little ones, two babies, after the age of 40. And I'm sitting there with my baby, and I cannot believe I'm holding a baby again, you know, twice after the age of 40. And now I know that's a physical blooming. I always think of my children. But spiritually, God has taken me to a place where I feel docile. I feel, whatever, Lord, whatever you want. I'm home with little babies again. You know, I have kids that are graduating from high school this year, too, two of them. And it's such a privilege to know that I am being used. I'm useful at home, and it's a peaceful feeling. There's so many other things I could say.
Did I read someplace that you are or were homeschooling?
Yes, I am homeschooling. I've homeschooled most of the time. There have been just a couple semesters here and there throughout the years, throughout the last 15 years.
Wow.
I have been homeschooling, 15. Just every once in a while, I need a break. But most of the time, those 15 years, I have been homeschooling.
Awesome. Just absolutely awesome. Well, let's go back to this Gregorian Chant for Kids project. Tell us about how this came about in your thinking, and what's going on?
I would love to. I knew that I had some good singers with the children, and I wanted to do something with that. And David was recording an artist from Louisiana. Her name is Kitty Cleveland. You may know her.
Mm-hmm.
She did a Gregorian chant for She did a Gregorian chant CD, and the kids were hearing her. See, the kids can hear the studio music going on in the house, and sometimes they pick up on the music, most of the time. And they started singing the chants, and she made the comment, "Oh, that sounds beautiful. Really, they would be more appropriate in singing this chant than me, because their voices are so pure." And so we thought about it, and we decided we should really do this. We prayed about it, thought about it, and introduced the first chant to them. They took to it like glue. They just learned it. It was so beautiful. It was really, truly like a language from heaven. And so we ended up recording a full 10-chant CD. We did some mass parts, Song of the Angels, and it was a hit. People loved it. So now we've just recently, that was in 2008, and then this year we came out with Volume 2 with the children doing another full CD of Gregorian Chant.
We hadn't talked about this beforehand, and I'm not prepared on this show to do that, but if you and your husband would be willing to share a couple cuts from either Volume 1 or Volume 2 of the CD, 1 or 2, we'd be happy to play those on Catholic Vitamins in a subsequent show and refer back to this interview and promotion that we're doing for that project. But I would love for our listeners to be able to hear a little bit of the singing of your children.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can do that. David will have to help me, but I'm not able to send stuff for you.
Okay.
The computer, but he can do that, yeah.
All right, great. We're going to close the show with your song, Open Book. You want to say any words about that?
Well, that song came about through time in adoration and how God really knows our soul. He knows what's going on like an open book. He reads us. He knows more than we know. And that's the premise of that song. That's just the background. You know, we can just always go to him in the Blessed Sacrament, and he knows what's going on.
We're putting this together in between Christmas and New Year's. It'll be just a little bit till the show is posted on the World Wide Web. But one of the things that my wife Dee and I started when we lived back in Colorado was opening our mountain church back there on New Year's Eve for adoration and benediction from 11 until midnight on New Year's Eve. And we're now doing the same thing at our parish in Arizona. Your open book explanation makes me think of that beautiful quiet time that we have bringing in the new year. Not that many people take advantage of it because a lot of people either don't want to stay up that late or they are used to partying or whatever. But we have seemed to find a small group of people where this resonates with them. So I'll be thinking of Teresa Smith and open book this New Year's Eve at Adoration, God willing. And we'll be praying for you and your family, Teresa, and your music ministry. Tell us about where people can get in touch with you.
Well, you can find out about my music on the web, teresasmithblooming.com. You can find me on Facebook. My email address, if you want to email me a message, I love to hear from people. You can reach me through email, which is teresalsmith2000@yahoo.com, and or through my husband's website, which is iconstudioproductions.com.
Wonderful. And where do they find the Gregorian chant music that you mentioned?
The Gregorian chant can be found on the website chantforkids.com.
Great.
And you can order online, and we have all kinds of materials with that. So,
what a wonderful idea. And, you know, people, when they hear Gregorian chant, even though it has been minimized or completely removed from liturgy since Vatican II, people who hear it just recognize how beautiful it is, and it's interesting that your kids picked up on that as soon as they heard it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. Yeah, and once we did Volume 2, we added teaching materials. So we have a teaching DVD and a translation booklet. So it's kind of a whole curriculum to teach it. And the DVD even has the little red ball that bounces on the next tone, you know.
Sure.
So,
our guest on Catholic Vitamins has been a delightful singer, someone who has taught us about blooming where God plants you. I might say, Teresa, that my wife, Dee, was raised back in rural Pennsylvania and was in an area where they had a lot of Church of the Brethren believers, good people, solid people. And Dee, my wife, is now Catholic. And she never would have thought that we would have lived all the places that we lived after we were married. She left rural Pennsylvania and has lived 12 different places, I guess, over the years. And she has said, I don't know how many times, that one of her favorite sayings is to bloom where she's planted. And she does that very well. And you've helped us to look at that today. Thank you so much, Teresa, for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. We have seen his star rising, and we have come to worship him. The new evangelist finds his way in this world by looking for that star, the star of wonder. And who is that star? It's the woman given to us by Jesus Christ, yes, the Blessed Virgin Mary. We're asking the question just like the people of the time of the Magi ask, where is he? Even Herod asked that question, yet he cannot recognize the power, the meaning of the star. He has to ask the Magi. He tries to take advantage of the Magi and tries to manipulate them for his own purpose. But the star comes and rests over the place where Mary was. And then they did him homage, and so do we. We do Jesus Christ homage through Mary. For justice shall flower, it shall bloom like a flower blooming in the desert, and all kings will come to pay him homage, for they will see him as the rescuer of the poor. Think about it. All of our government systems throughout the world have tried to end poverty. They can't. That power belongs only to the person of Jesus Christ, who is the just King. For he is the true steward of grace. He is the true steward of all creation, revealing to the nations by his holy apostles, the Holy Father, the Pope, and all the bishops united with him. May they preserve the faith to the end. And that's what we want to do. We want to preserve the faith to the end, even when the darkest clouds, the test, the temptations, the final trial come our way. We shall commit our hearts and our minds to Jesus Christ through Mary, for blessed is the fruit of her womb, Jesus. The fruit, not the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but a new fruit. And this fruit, which was crucified, we receive in Holy Communion. What an incredible gift to us who follow in the footsteps of these magi, these men of wisdom who threw everything they had at the feet of Jesus. They were guided by God to safety. Please, God, guide us to safety.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Well, thank you, Justin Stroh, for another new evangelization segment on Catholic Vitamins. This one on the Epiphany, of course, and we look forward each week when you can to your participations in the show. And it was such a joy to spend, 30 minutes or so with Teresa Smith and to find out what's going on in her life and to hear about some of the music that they've composed over the years. Dear, have you ever listened to all of the words of Blooming?
I have to admit, I haven't. I think all I've heard is just the intro that came with Lisa's Catholic Moments show all the time.
Right. Well, pretty much that had been my experience until I bought and downloaded Blooming. And it really speaks to the topic that you raised earlier in the show about Blooming.
Where you planted.
Yeah, and of course, we talked about that with Teresa during the segment. So you're going to get a chance to find out about her when you listen to the interview with her. And you're going to get a chance to listen to the construct, what was on their mind when they composed the song, David, her husband, and Teresa, Blooming. And it really speaks to the beautiful message of blooming where you're planted. Got some feedback?
We have a few pieces here. Dear Tom, this was sent to you, Deacon Tom. I'm a listener of SQPN for almost 3 years, but I've still been trying to get caught up on some shows and stay on top of others. I didn't see your show until I saw your affiliation with SQPN. Congratulations. I'll be listening to some of your most recent episodes today and in the future. I'll be praying for your ministry too. Peace. Channing.
That is a young woman. She's a young adult, and she has a blog that's already underway, and she's getting ready to start maybe this weekend.
Her own podcast?
Her own podcast, a Catholic podcast for young adults or for people who are of that mindset.
And we'll have to keep our eyes and ears open for that.
Yeah, I asked her, I sent her an email and told her that we'd be happy to run a couple plugs for her new podcast if she has time to put them together.
We also heard from our friend Pete in Florida.
Uh-huh.
He said, have you done vitamin B1, B6, and B12 yet? The best vitamins for a Christian are 2B1.
All right, there you go. Anything else? You're looking at your long list of communications there.
Oh, I was going to say Greg Gorman. You know how he always sends in a lot of guesses sometimes for our Vita Scrabble.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes he really does it.
Well, he did it again.
Did he? Okay.
These are not my guesses. Not yet. Breaking.
Oh, he was doing the vitamin B. He tried to guess that.
Blanking. Bungling. Bundling. Blinking, blocking, bricking, benching, belching, scandalous.
Yes, it is.
Botching, bringing, Blessing.
Well, that would work for me because I was
a... go with blessing, he said. Sorry, Greg.
All right. Well, thanks for the fun in trying to guess some things. Well, we are nearing the end of our show, but we have our faithful correspondent in Ireland who has some thoughts on blooming.
Only last week, as we were having our annual Christmas breakfast in school, I overheard one teacher say to another, "You are positively blooming." The teacher to whom it was addressed is with child, and please God will give birth in March. Her colleague then went on to list all that was radiant about the mother-to-be, from her air, to her eyes, to her skin, to her energy levels, and so on. It was a scene reminiscent of the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth. It is a common phrase here in Ireland to refer to a pregnant lady as one who is blooming, and I guess it is a way of saying that everything about the mother-to-be is radiant. It is a unique compliment through which every facet of the individual is praised. It is a wonderful term that is filled with light. That lovely word stayed with me over the next few days, and since it was so close to Christmas, I could not help but think of our Blessed Lady herself, a mother filled with light, filled indeed with the light. And I was reminded of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, that famous miraculous image that appeared on the tilma of St. Juan Diego. Here we see Mary blooming, wearing a sash reminding us of her pregnancy, and once more revealing that indeed God has taken on our human nature. Gazing at this image, there is no wonder left as to why Mary has so many luminous Marian titles. For the whole image is one of expectation and one of light. When a flower blooms, we know that the plant bearing it has reached a summit in its existence. It is fulfilling exactly what it came to do, and it announces the fulfilment of a mission, with a beauty that captivates the senses of smell and sight. Likewise, too, each and every pregnancy seems to announce a blooming, the accomplishment of a divine mission, something that is always noticed and reflected or commented upon by all who behold it. We as Catholics know that Mary, the lily of the valley, the mystical rose, of course, is in eternal bloom. She is the one who continuously brings fruit of conversion to the feet of Jesus. Indeed, her life of persistent pondering prayer will not cease until the last of her children join her in heaven. Mary's blooming shows us that both physical and spiritual motherhood is one way that women live out their vocations in the light of divine revelation. John Paul II reminds us that physical and spiritual motherhood implies, from the beginning, a special openness to the new person, and that in this openness, woman discovers herself through a sincere gift of self. Mary never tires of giving herself for the sake of her children, and we should never tire of giving back our own songs of thanks and praise through her to the Father. Lo, how a rose ere blooming from tender stem had sprung, from Jesse's lineage coming, as men of old have sung. Isaiah 'twas foretold it, the rose I have in mind. With Mary we behold it, the virgin mother kind. The shepherds heard the story proclaimed by angels bright, how Christ the Lord of glory was born on earth this night. This flower whose fragrance tender with sweetness fills the air, dispels with glorious splendour the darkness everywhere. O sweetest flower, I love thee, a light pure and divine. In beauty shine above me, fill thou my heart's deep shrine.
Well, thank you, Fergal, all the way from Naas. I think that's how you say it, N-A-A-S, in Ireland. Thank you for your contributions to Catholic Vitamins faithfully during the latter part of 2011, and we welcome you and your voice and your thoughts, your reflections in 2012. Dear, we are starting a new mini-segment on Catholic Vitamins. It's called Ask the Deacon, and I thought that we might invite people to send in any questions they might have that I might be able to try to help with, and we don't, since this is a new segment, we don't have anybody that has really sent in any questions, But for the next few weeks, until we get some response to this, or I hope we will, I've created some questions that are ones that I've really run into as a deacon. And maybe, dear, you can act as a person who would ask such a question. And this will be our first Ask the Deacon, and then I'll try to respond.
Well, obviously, being the wife of a deacon, I've heard people come up and ask you questions many, many times.
Right, right.
One that jumps into my mind that I've heard before is somebody asking, if they get an annulment, does that mean that their children are illegitimate?
Right, okay. That is a question I get often.
And how about somebody asking if the length of their original marriage before their civil divorce would be a factor in determining whether their marriage was valid or not?
Okay, so when somebody applies for an annulment, they're applying to what's called a tribunal, or it's the marriage court for a diocese, and the tribunal will be trying to investigate what happened prior to and at the time of the wedding with minimal attention, but a little bit of attention to what happened afterwards. So the amount of time that someone was married isn't a primary factor. And to respond to the second part of the question, which you asked first, about the legitimacy of children, that's actually a civil function. If the state recognizes a marriage, that's civil recognition, and any children that are born from that marriage are legitimate. So seeking an annulment, being granted an annulment, doesn't have anything to do with the legitimacy of children. So there's our first Ask the Deacon. If you have any thoughts about your prayer life or about receiving communion or annulment or marriage or remarriage, please remember a new segment on Catholic Vitamins called Ask the Deacon.
All right. Give them our email address and our feedback number.
CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. And the feedback number is 206-350-3789. So you can call in a question, and you can either remain anonymous or you can give us your name if you wish. And we'll do our best to answer it on Ask the Deacon. By the way, though, that number and the email address is what you use to try and guess the next Catholic vitamin. We didn't have anybody that guessed blooming correctly. Not surprising. So, dear, what is the next clue for a Catholic vitamin?
Nobody's going to guess this one either. It's so long. Vitamin C ends in N, 13 letters.
All right, now put your thinking caps on. What are Catholics called to do? Oh, D's giving me the evil eye. No more clues, so that I've got to stop. And maybe we'll do a little extra reward if we have someone who correctly guesses the next Catholic vitamin. And we think, God willing, we should be, ready to do a show in a week?
We hope.
Yeah.
Back on track.
Right. So our next vitamin is Catholic vitamin C, 13 letters you said?
13, if I counted right.
And ends in N. Epiphany blessings to all of you, and blessings in 2012. We have enjoyed our holiday time. So we enjoyed our break, but we're glad to be back on the road with Catholic Vitamins. Speaking of on the road, we are going to be on the road, but we'll probably be able to do our next show with no problem. And dear, we're going to close with another Teresa Smith song, one that was inspired by adoration, even though it's a little bit upbeat. We're going to enjoy closing with another piece of music that she's given us to use on Catholic Vitamins. We thank her for coming on the show. Dear?
I'm going to go listen to the whole song of blooming right now.
Okay. Blessings.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
SQPN. leading the way in Catholic new media.